Remember last week I told you that Jeremiah, the prophet, writes Lamentations as God had called him to be the prophet for the destruction of the people of God in Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah. And God used an instrument, an evil instrument called Babylon, to come and to destroy his people for two reasons. Number one, is because they had neglected to keep their Sabbaths years. And secondly, because they had given themselves to idolatry. And so for every year they took from God, the pattern was 6 and 1. They were to work the land for 6 years. And on the 7th year, they were supposed to take a vacation for a whole year and just survive from the leftovers in the land. But they didn't. They took upon themselves 70 Sabbaths, which actually multiplies out to 490 years that they owed God. And so for each one of those years that they did not obey the word of the Lord, and for the rebellion and worshiping other gods, God used Babylon to chastise his people in judgment and to lead them over to Babylon in captivity for 70 years. And so now Nebuchadnezzar has made 3 sieges. The first siege he came, he took all of the young men. The second siege he came and he took all of the vessels from the temple, the silver, the gold, all of the utensils, drinking cups, and all of the gold, silver. And then 1.5 years later he comes on his third siege and he destroys the city and he burns the temple with fire. And so now Jeremiah the prophet, as he sees his brothers and sisters and the people of God taken into captivity, he sits and he laments over the city of Jerusalem. Now, it's really a sad picture of the prophet as he sits there and he watches the city totally desolate, destroyed, no life in the city. And this is the reason that Jeremiah has been called the weeping prophet. He wept over and over over his people, those that had been killed and those that had been taken captive. Now you remember last week I told you that chapter 1 and 2, 4 and 5 actually have 22 verses in each one of those chapters, except for chapter 3, which has 66 verses. When you study chapter 1 and 2, each verse is a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And it goes down and down through the alphabet. And what happens when you get to chapter 3, every 3 verses has like A, and then verses 4 through 6, B, and then 7 through 9, C. And it goes all the way through. And there are triplets of 22 verses, which gives us a total count of 66 verses. In this prophecy here, in this lamentation, in chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations, we see the prophet in great anguish. At the same time, great anguish comes to the life of the prophet, but as he's looking through a dark tunnel, on the other side of the tunnel, there is a great hope of light. And many times, like the prophet, many of us, even this morning, we may feel like the prophet as he writes about the city that has been destroyed. Even as I stand here this morning and I'm teaching the word of God, I can really relate to this lamentation, even for America, where America's heading. But I really believe that it's biblical and it's prophetical what God has done and what God is doing to his people, just like he did to Judah. Because we have sown to the wind and now we're beginning to reap the whirlwind. It's here. You can see it. Where not only we want to legalize abortion, but we want to legalize even homosexuality. There's no longer no shame for a person's sex, you know, change. And it's something that we have seen being coming for a long time, and it's just like the prophet Isaiah said in the time when God was beginning to warn his people, the people of God were calling good evil and evil good. There's no morality in America any longer. We want to take off the, you know, things from our constitution. We want to actually erase them. And we, as God's people, like Jeremiah, need to become lamenters. We need to lament for our nation. We need to lament for ourselves, for what is in store ahead for us. This is just the beginning of what's going to come. God has warned us over and over and over for so many years, but we haven't listened to what God really was saying. And now it's here, where we almost have killed 30 million babies, aborted them. And so we see the decline of a nation, the decline of a people whose foundation was God Himself, and now moving away from God. And when you look out over the crowds of people, you really don't see the thousands, but you see the few, the remnant that God in these last days has elected and is calling to righteousness. We are His people, the people of His pasture. And I think that we, in God's timing, really need to come to a place where we need to be even stronger in our commitment to Jesus Christ. For we could find ourselves in time to come, like the prophet Jeremiah, looking at the city of Jerusalem as it had been taken by foreigners and totally devastated and destroyed. That can be the future of America. And I think that there's no perfect timing of the Lord to be in Lamentations. Listen to what the prophet declares in verse 1 of chapter 3. As we see in verses 1 through 16, the prophet's suffering. Now, God's judgment has come, and even though the prophet Jeremiah did not partake of sin, but he proclaimed the judgment of God to the people that would not listen to the prophet. The prophet was persecuted. The prophet was not only stoned, but he was also put in chains, in the stocks. He, one time they took him and they dropped him down into one of these water cisterns, and he actually sunk into the mud. He almost drowned, that he almost died, except that God spared his life. And it's neat because it shows you that if God calls you, no one can kill you until your time is over with. God's protection's over you to become a proclaimer of God's word. And at the same time, when you look at the prophet's anguish, how many times you and myself, over the past times as we have become believers, over the past months and maybe weeks and even years, we've come to a place where we felt where God no longer was listening to us. As God was taking us through a great trial in our lives. Especially when people, believers, go through a trial, many times believers don't want to go through the fire. We want to escape the fire. We would love to have the blessings of God, and we would love to have joy and peace constantly, but every child of God has to go through the fire at one time or other. God wants to purify you. God wants to mold you. He wants to shape you into His image. And this is exactly what happened with the prophet Jeremiah. He was called when he was very young. Now he's older. And for actually 55 years, he proclaimed the message of salvation, the message of repentance, the message of restoration, and the people of God did not listen to the true prophet, but they surely listened to the false prophets. And that's why they're in bondage now, in captivity for 70 years in Babylon. He says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Notice the prophet here. The prophet is looking over the city of Jerusalem, and he sees all of the physical conditions of the city. He sees the temple burned down, destroyed, the gates are totally down. The people, some of them have been killed. Some of the young girls in that city have been ravished, they've been raped. by the Babylonians, and then they had been tormented and then killed. And Jeremiah got to see everything with his eyes. And there's something about the eye. There's something that when you look with the eye, that it goes into the, when your eye finally sees it and perceives it, and then it takes action into the brain. It keeps a copy of it. Not only for a while, but actually for the rest of your life. I have pictures within my mind of the Vietnam War when I was in the jungles of Vietnam that never forget about them. They constantly come up in my mind. And this is what Jeremiah is reflecting to us, and he's telling us, he's sitting there watching, and he's watched the whole judgment of God against his own people. Stubborn people that would not listen to the prophet's judgment. And now they have sown to the wind, and now they're reaping the whirlwind. He says, I am the man who has seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. Notice God chastises people. Why? Because he loved them. He not only judged them, but because they went to Babylon, they never ever again, even till today, they never went back into idolatry. They learned their lesson about idols. Even though they don't believe today, one day they will believe. God's grace and God's mercy made enough room not only for judgment but also for restoration for his people. And I believe in my own heart, as God has given me that fire in my heart, that maybe we can change the whole nation of the United States of America, but maybe we can get to some people that will make a real commitment to God until the Lord comes. And this was what Jeremiah was trying to do. It's going to have to be supernatural, the work of God. Men cannot do it. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take God's people to fast and to pray and to seek his face and to repent before God can bring healing to the nation. And this was what God was sharing with Jeremiah the prophet, as Jeremiah here is in a deep depression. Some of you have been depressed. I've never been in a deep depression. I've been depressed, but not in a deep depression. Some people proclaim that when they are in a deep depression, it seems like there's a cloud over them and there's never any light. It's always darkness. This is what Jeremiah describes, as he's bummed out because of what's taken place, because God's people would not hear the word of God. He says in verse 2, he has led me and has made me walk in darkness and not in the light. Surely, he, God, has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. How many times do you feel like God's against you when you're going through a trial? He's not against you, he's for you. This was the wrong perception that Asaph had in Psalm 73 when he saw, when he went up to the temple of the Lord and he saw the wicked, he said, he was upset. He goes, how come, God, I serve you, I love you, I do everything for you, and nothing goes right in my life, and yet the wicked prosper and nothing happens to them? And then the prophet, actually Asaph, said when he went into the house of the Lord, he saw that the wicked did not prosper. But even as the wicked are judged, God's people have to be chastised too. We have to go through temptation. We have to be tried by the fire so that God can build character in our lives, so we can depend on him, not on men. God's people were going down to Egypt for help when God says, trust in me, not in Egypt. So what did God do? Not only did he judge them by bringing Babylon to them, but before Babylon came to destroy Judah, they went down and destroyed the Egyptians. Why? Because the people of God went down for help to Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. And God judged Egypt. God wanted his people to trust in him, not in men. And this is the problem today. It seems like every time you turn the radio on, you know, or you read Christian magazines, it seems like psychology, psychotherapy has taken over the church. When we as God's people need to turn to God for help. There's nothing impossible with God. All things are possible through him. as we put our trust and dependency on Him. And here the prophet is in a place where he should go to a local psychologist to see them. Because he's bummed out. He's gone. He says, man, Lord, you're not there. Where are you? And watch this. Verse 4. It says, there's no light. There's only cloudiness and darkness. He says, he has aged. My flesh and my skin are all wrinkled and my bones are broken. And he has beseeched me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. Listen to what the prophet says. This is a righteous man. You know, you have these people today that teach that Christians should never suffer, but Christians should always be wealthy and healthy. That's a false doctrine that these people teach. Believers have to suffer. Believers get sick. It's not how much faith you have. You know, I have a strep throat this morning. Well, I got it because I don't have enough faith. Baloney. God can heal me. But I was wise too. I prayed. I went to the doctor, gave me penicillin. Between the doctor and the Lord, they're doing a great work. God doesn't want us to be positive confessioners and say, well, I believe in positive thinking. The problem with you, brother, is you're always confessing negative thoughts. Don't say any negative words. Baloney. That has nothing to do with it, my friends. The Lord is in command. He's in charge. And if you feel like the prophet this morning and you're going through a cloudy time and you feel like you're all alone, listen, He is with you in the fire. And He'll take you through the fire. There is light on the other side of the tunnel. First 19 verses, man, he's bummed out. Listen to what he says. Verse 6. He has set me in a dark places like the dead of so long. You know what that means? He says, the Lord has forgotten me like the dead. You know how somebody dies and for a while you remember that person, but over the time of period of years, you no longer remember them like they were before. You just kind of go on your own way in your own life. That's what he's talking about. He says, man, Lord, have you forgotten me like the dead? He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chains heavy. He says, he's actually saying, Lord, why have you entrapped me here? I try to get up, but I can't. You know, the chains are too heavy. You feel like he's chained up. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts up my prayer. You ever feel like that? I feel like that a lot of times. Lord, where are you? Sounds like brass up there, you know? It's like you're playing racquetball, just bouncing back and forth. The ball's going everywhere, you know? My prayers are going in every direction. But the Lord is teaching me. The Lord is allowing me to sit, you kind of kick back and sit back and wait on Him to do the work. And this is Jeremiah. Lord, you don't hear. Yes, He hears. The Bible says the prayer of the saints are before the presence of God every day. He has blocked my ways with cut out stone and He has made my path crooked. Notice this. The prophet feels like he's trapped to his situation. There's no way out. Man, I'm dust. I'm going to die right here. You ever talk to people like that? Yes. You talk to them, they go, no, man, I'm going to die. You're not going to die. Yes, I'm going to die. No. There is hope in God. He has been to me like a bear lying in wait and like a lion to ambush me. Imagine that. He has turned aside my ways and torn me into pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrows. Look how descriptive he is. God uses me for target practice. Imagine that. I mean, he's really bummed out, you know? He says he has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my heart. I have become the ridicule of all my people and their taunting song all the day. What does he mean by that? Well, because they saw Jeremiah in that condition, the people were mocking him and making fun of him. Started laughing at him. He was being persecuted. Mocking because of his message. His message was strong. Repent. Change. And that message brought great persecution by these people. His own people persecuted Jeremiah. They ridiculed me. It's sad, and this is what we see in our new government. They ridicule. Today, everybody ridicules Christians. Because we pray, because we like to read the Bible, because we like morality. People make fun of us. The comedians get a good kick out of that. Verse 15. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me to drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. It's a real mournful way when they used to put ashes all over their heads. And then he says this. Notice. And you have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I have said my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. This is it, folks. I'm going to die. And then all of a sudden, verse 19, boom, the light shows up. Took an aspirin, felt better. Look at that. Verse 19. He says, remember my affliction and my roaming, the wormwood and the gall. And then he says, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. But yet, you know, as he's in this deep depression, he says, and then I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Good for you, Jeremiah. Because he remembers the mercies and the grace of God. Whenever you're feeling bummed out, go back to the past, what God has done, how he's kept you, how he's brought you forth. He begins to remind himself and think of the hope that he has in God. Verse 22, look. Through the Lord's mercies, we have not consumed. I like that. You should mark that if you're bummed out. Through the mercies of the Lord, we're not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. God is compassionate. God is watching. God cares what you're going through. He's not going to let you die. The Bible says in the book of James that he's not going to allow you to be tempted far and beyond where he's going to destroy you. But with every temptation, he makes the way what? The way of escape. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will not let you fall. He will not let you die. He will rescue you in his time. Verse 23. He says, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now check that out. Every morning, God's mercies and compassions should flow through our lives. Every morning, we should take upon the mercies of Jesus Christ because he is faithful. The Lord is my portion to my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him and the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth. What does he mean by that? Right here, right before he goes into another bummer, verse 27, he says, it's good if you come to know the Lord while you're young. Because by the time you get old, you've had a lot of experience in the Lord. You have a lot to think about what God has done in your life. And not only that, when you're young, you're gentle, you're kind, and you're soft. Your heart is just barely developing into an evil heart, and God can come into your life. And most of the decisions made for Jesus Christ are made by young teenagers from age 13 to 15. And that's good. The harder it becomes when you get older. As you become older, why? Because you've been hurt by life. The experiences of life have hurt you. You're bitter towards life. You're bitter towards people. You ever talk to an old person that never doesn't want to come to know the Lord? And how bitter they are and the way they reject God, their heart is like a stone. But young people, their heart is soft. And they receive. They haven't lived that long yet to become bitter like the old. So Jeremiah says here, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth, committing your life to God while you're young. And then he goes down Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. And here he goes into the future, not only for Jeremiah prophetically, but literally this is a prophecy speaking of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was actually, they were beating up on Jesus Christ. Remember, they were hitting with a fist? This is a prophecy from that. For the Lord, and then he comes up again. He comes up for air, notice. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitudes of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Notice, even though we say it, why don't we believe it? Why don't we believe what we say and what we have experienced in the past? And I'm not putting this down, but it's important that we understand that life is not always going to be fun. Jesus said that. In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And he is the one that gives me the comfort, and he's the one that brings the joy in my life, as I am obedient to the master, to the general of generals, and I obey what God wants me to learn through this trial, through this temptation, or maybe through this affliction. Maybe I have cancer. Does that mean that God doesn't love you? No. He loves you. He loves you a lot. But it's something you have to go through. God knows who can get cancer and God knows who can't get cancer. It's up to God. We don't know. I don't understand that. It's his sovereignty. He heals some and some he doesn't heal. But in my book, he heals everybody, because those that he heals physically, guess what? You got to stay here. Those that he heals eternally, they're gone. They don't have to worry about disease anymore. They're in the presence of the Lord, those that are believers. When the Lord healed me, I was kind of bummed out, because I thought I was going home. I thought I was going to beat every one of you, but I guess not. I guess he wanted me to be here. I was bummed. When they came and told me my blood was okay, I said, oh, bummer, man. You know, I thought a couple of weeks I'll be gone with the Lord and go out and preach the gospel, and that's it. Don't have to pay taxes anymore. That's it. Go be with the Lord. But here we are again. Then he goes down again to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due to man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause. The Lord does not approve. And then check this out. The prophet here again sinks. He sinks down again. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceeds? Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Now, here the prophet is saying that God will punish your sin. You know, there's a lot of people that think they can get away with what they do. You can't get away with what you do. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Yes, God will forgive you for your sin if you repent. And even though when you repent, he will forgive you, cleanse you, wash you from your sin. He remembers it no more. But guess what? You're going to have to reap the consequences of your sin. Everybody does that. That's the law of sowing and reaping. And it's important, because we need to understand that here God does punish sin. Why? Because of the complaint that Jeremiah is saying. Hey, Lord, do you really, really, truly judge sin? Well, Jeremiah, what happened to Judah? They're gone 70 years into captivity. You see, at this point in time, he's bummed out. And then in verse 40, he comes up for air again. And he says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Now, look what he says here. Hey, stop and examine your life before God. Take an inventory today. Are you with him? Or are you without him? Or are you against him? Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. If you're not walking for him, then please turn to him. Get back. come back to your first love. You can't live without him, and you can't do anything apart from him. He is the only one that can keep you. And so we need to come to that place like the prophet and examine our lives, whether we are in or out of the kingdom. Let us lift our hearts and our hands to God, to heaven. And then he says, okay, the conclusion of this whole thing, let's go into prayer. And so from now on, verse 42, all the way to the end of the chapter, he prays. He goes into intercession. Listen to what he says. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven us. What's the first thing he does? He actually comes to confession of sin in his prayer. Lord, look at, we have transgressed, which means willful transgression against God, and have rebelled, and you have not forgiven us. But Lord, we, all you have to do, man, he was trying to tell this to Judah, just repent and confess your sin, and God will do a work in you. And remember those that were going into captivity, those of the remnant that were walking with the Lord, he says, if you don't restrain, if you just willingly submit to Babylon, you're going to survive, and I'll take you there, and I'll bless you. But if you don't want to go in submission, and you want to rebel, then you're going to pay. And the same way within our own lives, God tells us, look, man, you'll either go one way, or I can bring you another way. You can come willingly, or I can force you. You have no choice. Either submit, or you rebel. It's all up to you. And then verse 43, he says, you have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. Notice God was angry, because they wouldn't repent. And you have slain and not pitied. You have covered yourself with a cloud, and the prayers should not pass through. Notice that prayers are not going anywhere. God is no longer listening to their prayers. You have made us an offscouring and refuge in the midst of the peoples. Imagine what happens and what's happened in the past 5 or 7 years with all these TV evangelists and people in the church that have fallen into sin. Look at the poor testimony that we've brought to the world about Christianity. No wonder they make fun of us and they make jokes of us as Christians. And they say, and they know the Lord. And look at them. All our enemies have opened their mouth against us. They're making fun of us. Fear and snare have come upon us. Desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow like rivers of water in the destruction of the daughters of my people. You know what he says there? That's why he's called the weeping prophet. He couldn't stop crying as he watched those young little girls being raped by the Babylonians and then being killed. He got to see all that, and the prophet just weeps. My eyes flow to do and do not cease without interruption. Till the Lord from heaven looks down and sees, my eyes bring suffering to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. Look at all the child pornography. Look at all the child molestation. Look at all the abortions, 30 million almost. We are like Jeremiah. As we watch our nation, as we watch the homosexual community trying to take over equal rights. And how Russia has opened their doors before God, and all of Europe's opening once again for God. And America, the land of God, is now turning to liberalism and to communism. Something is wrong. We're going backwards instead of going forwards. Until the prophet cries out, he says, hey, this is where it's happening. Verse 52, my eyes, my enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. The persecution he took upon himself. They silenced my life in the pit, and they threw stones at me. When he was thrown down into that muddy pit, they started throwing stones at him. He says, the waters from my eyes flow over my head. I said, I am cut off. He almost thought he was going to drown. I call on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit, and you have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighting, from my cry for help. You drew near on that day. I called on you and said, do not fear. Notice the comfort God brings to Jeremiah. I'm in charge of your life. Nobody's going to kill you. I'm going to deliver you. And that's what we should do. We should not fear. But look at Jeremiah here. He comes out in verse 58. He says this, O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul, and you have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen how I am wrong and judge my case. You know what he does now? He turns to God and says, okay, God, I've been praying to you. I've been going through a big bummer. And like David, he says, Lord, why don't you now turn and do me a favor? Get even with these people. Look at Jeremiah. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, all their schemes against me, the lips of my enemies and their whispering against me all day long. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am a taunting song. Now watch this. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Lord, get them. Seek them, Lord. That's what he says. Give them, notice, a sorrowful heart. Your curse be upon them. Notice how he prays. Cursed be my enemies. When Jesus says, pray for your enemies. You know, here in the Old Testament, he prays. In your anger, pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. And again, like Jeremiah, we are like him. God help us, men, to realize these things. Father, we come before you this morning to thank you so much for thy word, Father, for thy grace and love and mercies.